Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me, starting off in the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy in chapter number 2. Now, we're in a Sunday school series of issues of life answered from the Word of God. And as we live in the world, we know that there are some issues that we have to have a biblically defensible position. And as we've been building up in the series, as we're reaching the last few, we're now coming to such hot-button topics that they are flaming hot with the temperature of our society, where things are at. And we have to come to the place where we can have a biblically defensible position and explain to others about these positions. And so if you don't mind taking your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And notice with me, if you don't mind, as we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's start in verse number 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And with this, notice a phrase that we find in the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9, rather. And notice the expression that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. And with this, we're going to hit this idea of modesty and identity. These two things go hand in hand, and this is one of the important ones that we have to have a biblically defensible position, meaning that we have to explain it from the Bible, not our feelings, not our expressions, not our philosophies. We have to go to the Bible. And with this, I'd like to turn it just a bit and try to explain not only this idea of modesty and identity, but also the importance of it, the background importance, not just, you know, the what, but the how. As we start off, we're giving an understanding here that here it's giving instructions. In fact, as we hit context, Paul is talking to his son in the faith, Timothy, who is behaving as a pastor, and the pastor's responsibility was to train the people in the church. And in this instance, he was instructed in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. And so as we come up, let's define terms. First of all, we come to this idea of modesty. What is modesty? Modesty is the idea of not bringing attention to the sexual zones of the body. That's probably a very good sanitized version of it, that it's not bringing attention to the sexual zones of the body. We know that both men and women, we have sexual zones. And modesty carries the idea that you're not bringing attention to those sexual zones. And so someone who is dressed immodestly is actually wearing something that brings attention to the sexual zones of the body. Now, we'll get into this in just a bit, and let's kind of hit this idea in the context. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. This carries the idea that there's a seriousness to it, that there's an importance to how they dressed. Not with broided hair or gold or silver or costly array, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And this is carrying the idea that she should be more concentrating on the inward beauty, and then carry it on the outside. It is important what we wear. We all have known people that look nice on the outside, but they're ugly people. Yes. Because of their character, of who they are, how they treat people. And so God is saying the inside is what we're most concerned with, but the outside is a reflection of the inside. Does that make sense? And the Bible gives this principle over And with this, we know that there's plenty of people who maybe have never been taught the importance of modesty and identity. These two are going to go hand in hand, but first we're understanding the idea of modesty. Let's also give another definition. The Bible uses the word naked and nakedness throughout the Bible, and there are passages where it gives a lot of definition and explain, but three different times in the Bible gives the definition of nakedness as the exposing of the thigh. And so for someone to be considered naked according to Bible terms and what God has given as a definition is the exposing of the thigh. Now, once again, the thigh is going to be part of the sexual zones of the body. And so for someone to wear something, shorts, skirt, whatever else, that would ride up and expose the thigh, they, under biblical definition, is considered naked. Well, the same thing, let's go if they're wearing an article of clothing that becomes tight upon the thigh. Once again, it is carrying the idea that it is immodest. It's bringing attention to the sexual zones of the body. Now, may I also put attention that men can dress immodestly? So this isn't just a female thing, though oftentimes for females it becomes more obvious way they dress. But both, everyone is given the instructions to dress modestly, not to bring attention to the sexual zones of the body. Now with this, it goes hand in hand with something else. Modesty and identity. That we have to cover both of these definitions. It's not just how are you dressing modestly? Are you also dressing in a way that identifies who you are? With that, turn with me, if you don't mind, to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Now, the Bible's not silent on this subject. It has plenty to say. We are just going to give a cursory view and give an understanding of this. And so let's hit a little bit about the idea of identity. Now, I'm not hammering home modesty as much as some other people are. I'm trying to give you a definition and trying to say, hopefully you have an understanding that you're not bringing attention to the sexual zones of the body. We're talking about modesty. We've all seen people, can a lady be immodest in a sweater? Yes. Absolutely, yes. Can a man be immodest with a t-shirt? Something just, he might as well have it painted on. So I'm not picking on one or the other. I'm trying to say modesty carries the idea that we're not bringing attention to the sexual zones of the body. Now, we're going to hot potato it some more, flaming hot. We also have to have the other definition of this. Why is this so important? Modesty and identity. Notice with me in the book of Genesis chapter number 1, the book of beginnings, as we see that God had created man and woman, notice what he said. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then he'll go on and kind of repeat this sentiment in the next couple chapters. But here God has made a distinction between a man and a woman. There is a distinction. And when we're talking about is modesty and identity important? We understand modesty is very important. The Bible gives emphasis to it. But so is the idea of identity, that God has created man and woman, and there's an expectation that a man should look like a man and a woman should look like a woman. Now, with this, as society has adopted different things, the mindset, it's just not closed. Let's put this here. The end-all be-all is not clothes. The clothes is an outward sign of something that's inside. So there's something deeper than the issue of what are you wearing. And with it, we could see that it's actually changed a mindset and a philosophy. Let me give you a historical illustration of the different mindset through two different disasters in American history. First of all, let's take this first scene. In 1912, you had the sinking of the Titanic. And in the sinking of the Titanic, there were four words that illustrated our country's view of gender that was pronounced, proclaimed, and illustrated on the deck of the Titanic. Women, and children first. Women and children first. That there was an idea that there was a difference, there was a distinction, and that there was a responsibility to make sure that the women made it to the life rafts first and just do this. Now, out of the 1,503 people that died, 1,357 of those that died were men. So there were 13 men to every one woman who died on the Titanic. Again, a disaster, horrible event that happened. But it was interesting to note what the emphasis was. Women and children first. Let's fast forward. 1994, you had the sinking of the Estonia. With the sinking of the Estonia, the mindset was completely different. It was every man for himself. They even had a woman with two broken legs begging for a life jacket, and nobody would help her. Every man for himself. And so out of the survivors of the Estonia, 90% of the survivors were men. We're talking about here is that with the idea that there was a blurring of distinction, a blurring of genders, a blurring of the roles, that before there was a concern, a responsibility to make sure that women are children first. With the distinctions and everything erased, the philosophy, mindset, and the view changed, every man for himself. And now because biologically men are stronger and made different, 90% of those who saved were men. The women perished. There was something different. Now, again, all we're doing is taking a snapshot of history and showing that there's something that has changed in philosophy, something that has changed in view, something that has been modified. And part of it is the rebellion of what God has done. By the way, let's establish this now. God is the one who puts the separation between the sexes. God is the one who made the distinction. We as biblically defensible people have to understand what the Bible says and what God has done. This isn't our definition. This isn't a constructed idea that we as white Christian American people came up with. This is something that God designed, God came up with, and God has placed the emphasis. And that if we're going to be biblically based people, we must agree with God and the Bible. Now you can see where this is going to be hot potato stuff. This isn't a popular message here in the century we live in. But we're trying to be biblical. We have to have a biblically defensible position. Notice with me, if you're still in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, grammar is important to our understanding. I want to show you something amazing. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. Notice this. In the image of God created he him. Notice there is no period. There's a continuation of thought. Male and female created he him. As God is talking about that he has made mankind in the image of God, the two distinctions of male and female are also important to the image of God. That means both of them are important to getting the view that God desired us to have as human beings across. Both male and female are important to this idea of the image of God. And of course, if you've been here for any stretch of time and have been through our services, we know that any picture that God has of himself or of Christ, God takes very, very seriously. This is a distinction that he emphasizes over and over. So with this, may I kind of illustrate a difference here? Krista and Zeb, if you don't mind, I want you to come up and I want to illustrate something. I want you to stand over there. Yep, you there, good, got that. All the way, okay? We're going to call this our Genesis 1 point, okay? Genesis chapter 1 point. That God has made a clear distinction between male and female. God has made a distinction. We understand that, right? Now, in the book of Romans chapter 1, I'll let you read it for itself. But because of the rejection of God, the rejection of who God's person is, there's a rebellion against God's thought. all of a sudden, everything changes in the mind of philosophy of men. Both of you come here. In Romans chapter 1, what you have? No distinction. This is the Romans 1 position. Genesis 1 position is over there. Romans 1 position is here. This is what happens when people reject God, reject God's way, rebel against His orders, that the eventual happening, according to Romans 1, read it for yourself, there is no distinction between male and female. You understand, this has become a spiritual war. This isn't an idea of preference or what I feel comfortable with or what I think. This is an idea that it's a spiritual war that is all determined our view of God, who God is, who's going to be God in our life. And the consequence that comes up is the difference of philosophies between the Romans 1 or the Genesis 1 position and the Romans 1 position. All right? Take Genesis 1 positions, please. Now, how in the world do we get from there to here? How do we get from Genesis 1 position to Romans 1 position? Step by step. It's not an instant transformation. It is a step. It is a series of steps taken over a course of time. And the Bible here, it describes the distinctions. Think about the distinctions that God gives in different areas of life. In the home, we have distinction of roles. We have a husband and a wife. Those are distinctive positions, correct? Mm-hmm. You have a father and a mother. Those are distinctive positions, right? Good. By the way, in a home, even the difference of roles comes a difference of how they get their roles accomplished. In the Christian home, according to the Bible, man gets his purpose accomplished by authority. He has authority. For the ladies in the Christian home, they get theirs accomplished by influence. Both of those roles and how they are enacted are different. The man gets his by authority. The woman gets it by influence. You've heard the expression, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. That's not by authority, that's by influence. And biblical Christian womanhood is not a low slave position. It is always in the Bible and biblically based worlds, not Christian-based worlds, biblically-based world, always elevates the position of Christian womanhood. Always. It is people who discount the Bible but use the Bible as a basis that destroy that. With that, we also have to understand that biblical manhood is not toxic manhood. Those are two different things. Again, there are people who may use the Bible as a background that don't follow the Bible, that destroy those things. And of course, it makes it harder when we try to express this. Think about the home. Inside of the home, we talk about there's different distinctions. But in the church, there are different distinctions. There are roles for ladies and roles for men. Those are distinctions that God had set up. And then we talk about dress, which is where we were talking about before, about modesty and identity, talking about there's a difference in even how we dress. That should be a distinction that should be easily marked and identified. Now, dress, get this, let's nail this down. Dress is a mark of femininity, not spirituality. I'm about sick of someone says, well, I wear a dress and so-and-so wears a dress, so we're spiritual. No, no, no. You dress like a lady. Praise the Lord. It has no mark whether you're spiritual or not. Spiritual has the idea that you're walking with God and spending time with Him and reading your Bible and praying. You could wear a dress and not be spiritual. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
But what we're talking about is that as we're following the Lord, it will show up in here. Now, you guys are doing good standing. I'm going to use you. I haven't forgot about you yet. All right. So we understand that the Bible gives specific roles and that there's a distinction between the two and that there should be a visible distinction. There should be a discernible distinction. There is a distinction between how they interact. There should be a distinction. Now, we know that the world is doing its own thing. It is what it is. And they're drifting off. They're doing their own thing. Sure. So we ask the question now, where can someone go and see what 100% femininity looks like? Where can someone go to see where 100% biblical masculinity is at? Well, the Bible says that the church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth, meaning that we should always have a place where we go to find truth. Therefore, the church itself should be the place where, again, people don't have to agree. There are going to be people that come from the world that disagree with us, fine, but they should be exposed to truth and be able to see what is biblical masculinity look like and biblical femininity looks like. And again, that's carried out with a lot of different things, including dress and appearance. Men should look like men, and women should look like women. Now, the process of blurring is different between men and women. Remember, how did we get from Genesis 1 positions to Romans 1 position? Speak. Step by step. So what happens is that there's a little bit of a change. I don't want to look like a lady, and I don't really care if I look like a man. Take a step. Okay. And then maybe there's something else. Well, I don't like what I'm supposed to do, so another step. But you honestly want to know where this idea of the blending comes from, where this coming to one? It's what happens is when men, they blur by shrinking back from their responsibility. Some people like to be in charge until they realize that there's a responsibility that goes with it. Well, God has given different roles. And by the way, inside of the idea of a biblical household, it is the father that is given the responsibility, and he has to stand before God and give an account. Well, that's a heavy responsibility. Well, men don't like that responsibility, so they shrink from that responsibility. And so in order to get from the responsibility that God has for you here, men wants to walk away from that responsibility. And you know what happens? They start taking a step over here. Now, women understand that the way that they are created and there to work with the world is by influence. But the ladies aren't satisfied with influence. They want authority. And so as they try to take authority for themselves instead of using influence, they start taking steps. Until finally, they come to the place where the world has so influenced them and has exchanged that identity and gotten rid of it, they are no distinction between man and woman. Does this sort of make sense?
Yeah.
All right, good. You guys can be seated. And so we understand that what we're trying to get here is we understand we're not trying to tell the world what to do and what not. We can't do it. All we are is to be a lighthouse and an example, an influence. So when people come to the place where they realize the way that they've been doing things hasn't been working, their home isn't functioning in order, they're not having the blessings, they're having other things going on, there's consequences, I need to go find somewhere. Remember that the greatest evidence that biblical Christianity works is the idea of the evidence of a changed life, that there's something different. When people are coming in and they need help, the things that they've been, they may not know what they need, but they know they need something. Things haven't been working right. They need to be able to come to the place where truth is preached, truth is expressed, truth is lived, and the church is made to be that place. Now, they may not like the truth. They may come in, hear the truth, say it's not for me, and walk off. That's up to them. We have the responsibility of being the place where they could find truth, find help. And with that, we as biblically based people have the responsibility of, even in the way that we dress and the way that we carry ourselves, with modesty and identity. Modesty carries the idea that we're working on the inner man and not the outer man. The outer man's important. What I wear is important. It's not non-important, but it's less important than who I am. But who I am in the inside will show up on the outside as I'm following there. If I'm as a man trying to be an example of biblical manhood, as I'm following after the character of Christ, well, then it's going to show up in how I wear and how I deal with people, how I work. Well, if I'm a lady and I'm trying to follow the example of following after Christ, remember, both of them are important for having the image of who God is. That as I'm following after that, it's going to show up in how I deal with people, how I dress, and how I carry myself. With a purpose that when people come in, they could say there's something different. And that difference will draw them in and they say, because there's something different here and they have something that I don't have, I'm more willing to listen and get the help that I need. Now again, even in a church, we know that the church, we said the church should be the place of the pillar and ground of truth. Unfortunately, because the Christians are becoming more and more like the world, what's happening is that the positions are blurred even more, even within the church. And because we're more like the world than we should be, we have less influence and less help of the world when they need it. Does that make sense? So what I'm trying to do is it's not to hit the idea that men should be modest, ladies should be modest, that men should look like men and women should look like men. I'm placing that emphasis. But I'm also trying to explain why is this important? Why is it that men should look like men? You know, we could give the standard answer because God said so. And he did say so. Over and over and over and over. In the book of Leviticus, he says it very clearly that a man should not wear the thing that attaineth to a woman. There should be a difference. There's indifference in how they go. Now, with each church and each home, there should be a standard or an application. Biblical truth does not change. Application of it changes. And each church has it. We have our standards that we expect our leadership to carry through, and that influence will carry through others who are not leadership that we're trying to bring along. Does it make sense? I'll open it up for questions and comments in just a second. But what I'm trying to do this morning is I'm trying to explain that what the idea of biblical modesty is about, what biblical identity is about. Understanding that it is God, it's the one who put the distinctions. And there was a reason for the distinctions. We're explaining that how each of them are different and where this blur is coming from until we get to Genesis or Romans chapter 1, where we could see because of the rejection of God, because of the rebellion against him and his principles. And by the way, there's many people, they're not purposely trying to be evil. They're just being conformed to the world and not understanding what's going on until they get to the place where there is no difference and there's no distinction. And by the way, it goes back to Genesis 1 that it ruins this image that God has, that both men and women carry the image of God and both roles are important and are supposed to be distinctive and different. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.